Welcome back, friends and family. We appreciate you being on here today to watch, to listen, or whatever form that you're absorbing and digesting this information. I really, really appreciate your continued support. Today we have a super, super special guest, Dr. Mark Vandermeer, on today. He's the Executive Director of Community Recovery International in West Michigan and the Associate Pastor at New Community Church. So again, like I usually say, I could give you a glowing intro that's going to take 5 minutes and everybody's going to know your entire history. And it looks like I did 6 months worth of research, or I could just get it from the horse's mouth, so to speak, and ask you to tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, thank you, Jeff, for having me come on today. I want to give a special thanks to your viewers for being able to share this time together, because we all need God, we all need each other, and this is especially a time to do that. And that also relates to recovery. Recovery is about, of course, being restored by God's hand. And, you know, again, we all have life issues. It's not about drugs and alcohol, but it's about life issues overall. And that's what we want to do at, well, we do at Community Recovery. It's to bridge people who need help to Christ, recovery, and also the community. And it's our vision. And so we've been doing that for over 20 years, where we took a celebrate recovery model, and then we made it our own. It's like a template, because we were doing a lot of different things than what the celebrate recovery criteria was requiring. So we then got creative, and we then incorporated as a nonprofit organization in 2002, had a chance to reach the community at large in many different ways. Recovery comes in many forms. And yes, drugs and alcohol are a big part of that, but it's also having to do with life issues, the family, and addressing major issues that people care about. So so for over 20 years, we've been doing Friday nights, and then the past 40 years within those 21 years now, we've been doing Monday nights and Friday nights, where then we have a dinner, worship, support groups, about 10 groups at a time, meeting at the same time on that given evening. We were reaching over 400 people a week, and we still do, but now we reach well over 1,000 people online when COVID hit. When COVID hit, we had an opportunity to go online. We pivoted within the week that we had to shut down because of the whole virus crisis. Mm-hmm. So we got online. We got a Mevo camera on the tripod, got two laptops. My associate, who is my director of operations for the nonprofit and one of our pastors on staff too, he became the tech guy because that's his thing. And we went online. So we did a lot and have been doing, and we do every week now on Facebook. We were able to create a Facebook group page, for example, and from zero people to well over 1,400. So great opportunity to reach out. And the COVID virus, you know, that opened a lot of doors and opportunity. We pray for the families, and we still do, and stay in solidarity with everyone who has been affected by it. I contracted COVID myself, and thank the Lord I recovered. And also my colleague, Pastor Greg, who I mentioned, Director of Operations, he too, along with others on our staff, we all contracted COVID, but we are now recovered. So thanks be to God. But when it comes to business and outreach and also ministry and being a nonprofit, we are now not only here in West Michigan, but we are also in five other countries, including Bangladesh, India, Kenya, Sri Lanka, and also Nigeria. So, and because of the whole COVID opportunity, I mean, it's been some positive here. We've been able to connect with some church movements in Pakistan, as well as in Liberia, sex trafficking rescue, and those kinds of things. And so we've been requested to give training. Also, to we have a donor, for example, who likes to donate towards buying Bibles. And so we've been able to distribute Bibles to those who don't have them in Pakistan to hear the gospel. And of course, that's about recovery too. Mm-hmm. So that's who we are, community recovery, and really global as well as international.
That's awesome. That is truly from a local community here in West Michigan. You guys did start here in West Michigan, right?
Yes, we start right here in Grand Rapids, north side of the city, right here in the Dean Lake area. So it's been good.
That's awesome. That's awesome. It sounds like you guys were not necessarily prepared, but able to kind of shift almost immediately within the week, you said. So got things just you know, more and more of God speaking to you through and allowing things to happen, you know, despite everything that's going on right now.
Yes.
I'm curious to know, because you had said that you and your associate Pastor Greg, right? Did I hear that right? Both got COVID. What was your experience like with that? Was it particularly bad? Was it pretty mild? I mean,
well, it's pretty mild with our case, and also all the cases with those on the church staff who also contracted it. For example, I contracted pneumonia over 30 years ago, and it was worse than what I had with the COVID experience. So just by comparison, it, thank the Lord, has been quite mild.
Right, right. We all wish that they were all that mild, but we know that that's not the case in a lot of cases. So what, as far as the meetings right now, everything is going online, correct? There's no in-person meetings?
Right now, it's all been online as far as my doing a worship segment. I also do a show just like similar to yours called Check Up with Dr. Mark. And so I'll have guests on like you are having me on today, and having to do with, you know, those who are experts in the field. And we have some great topical discussions, and also Pastor Greg, he did his thing called What's Up with Pastor Greg. That was a fun segment he did for a few months. And just to keep engaging the recovery community, as well as the international community. And the irony is that we had a lot of people, you know, jumping on that Facebook from India and Pakistan and so on, and Africa. And all of them think that we are a relief organization. We aren't. We are a recovery and education ministry and organization. So although we do have church planting and community development work going on in Bangladesh, but that's in conjunction with the church. So that's where that has been that focus. But overall, that's been, again, more about education and also, again, recovery and support.
That's awesome. And it sounds like, yeah, they just kind of work hand in hand. Like you kind of plug everything, kind of works together. So I want to take it back a little bit here. You gave us a little bit of a bio about the business on this. If you could share a little bit about your faith journey from a child, a young man, to kind of getting you into the position where you are now, and ultimately leading up to what inspired you to do what you're doing now with community recovery and, you know, up to this point.
Sure. If you could pause a minute.
Good.
So as far as my faith journey, I grew up in a pastor's home. My father's a pastor, also a high school teacher. He taught Bible and also religion, and coached debate and also drama speech events. And so a busy guy, but grew up where my mother was able to be home. But then I entered my teen years, and I had an older cousin who confronted me. He said, "So what? So what? You've grown up in a Christian home. You've been around the church, you know, all your life. And so what?" Now, granted, he had his own faith awakening at that time. And he's about 9 years older than me. And so I was about 13 years old, and he was about 22, 23. And he had just truly given his heart to Christ. And so he was challenging everybody around him. And of course, I looked up to him as a young cousin, and all my cousins, we all went to the same church. So, you know, that goes. But then he got in my face and said, "So what?" And I said, I know, and no matter what answer I gave him, it was, "So what?" So I went home after that encounter, and then began to think more deeply about it. You know, encountered with my dad. I said, "Hey, what's John doing? What's going on here? You know, why is he asking me these questions? I know the Lord," and so on. Of course, we know facts, but of course about the relationship, right? So I then spent more time with John, and then really came through a true conversion experience. I think the Lord used that in a big way. So by age 14, I gave my heart truly to Christ in terms of that next phase of my faith journey. And then was able to foster a relationship with Christ. Well, God does it all, of course, you know that. Mm-hmm. But I started a relationship with Christ, with God doing it and me, you know, saying yes to Jesus. And as a result, you know, the spiritual gifts came alive in my heart, and also the gift of evangelism and of course of leadership and also of encouragement and those gifts that 1 Corinthians 12 talks about and also Romans 12, and became part of the evangelism ministry that was at the church at the time that was very strong. I was the only 14-year-old and turning 15 by that time. Had to be part of it, along with a lot of Reformed Bible College, now Kuiper College students at that time, and their mentor, who was one of the profs from there, got trained by him and in terms of how to share my faith and also to share, to lead other people to Christ and how that works. We were working with the Evangelism Explosion model at that time from D. James Kennedy. And so great, great foundational stuff. And then, of course, you know, continue to grow. And then I met my wife during high school. She, although we didn't really start to date until her first year of college, I'm a day older than she is, but she was ahead of me in school. You know, that goes. So we got together as far as dating and then getting engaged within that first year of college. And then after the second year of college, got married. And then the church that my dad led, I went through a church split, 1991. Unfortunate. So, but the Lord, I knew God was calling me to ministry. Didn't know what it was, and sort of which ministry, not necessarily, you know, senior pastor stuff or what was it? So, and I've been a part of Youth for Christ. I've been part of a whole bunch of, you know, efforts and initiatives as far as evangelism and outreach. And I knew that was going to be part of what I was going to do. Probably Chicago, maybe LA, maybe New York, somewhere, didn't know. And most likely Chicago, because, you know, since God was calling me to go to Trinity Evangelical Divinity School for seminary, I had to get out of Grand Rapids. So did my education there. And then, well, ironically, God brought us back to Michigan. And the new church had started out of the church split called New Community Church of West Michigan, which I now have, I'm still the associate pastor of after 21 years, pastor with my dad. So, which is, you know, ironic too. But that's been long and short of it because, you know, and what God did in starting Community Recovery, God started a whole international movement of Christ-centered 12-step support that we're discovering more and more. It's a lane of our own, also connected to other lanes, as they say. But that's been my faith journey and seeing the Lord transform lives as a result. People of all walks of life, all race, all ethnicity. When people talk about racial reconciliation of that sort, I my response to them is, we just do it. You know, why you know, stop talking about it and just be, do it. Love and accept and lead people to the Savior, point them to Jesus. That's what discipleship is all about. And there's there are constructive ways of doing it, and that's addressing life issues where people are. So that's where I've been.
Sounds like a very cool, very unique approach in how you're doing it, being in your own lane. Question about Evangelism Explosion. I've not heard of that in the past or before. I'm sure a lot of people maybe haven't yet. Can you explain that briefly?
Evangelism Explosion was something that D. James Kennedy, who was a popular pastor in the 1960s into the 1980s, right through there. And by the 1990s, you know, he was still around and he passed away not too long ago. My goodness, not too long ago, probably over 10 years ago. But you get older, it gets faster. So, but Evangelism Explosion was, it started to take off in the late 1960s and the 70s and then on the 1980s at that time. And it was a curriculum that Dr. Kennedy developed to help the church in sharing their faith. So it was kind of like, you know, developing a celibate recovery model or Stephen's ministry or Alpha or, you know, something of that nature that we would be more familiar with today. He did the same kind of thing where he was able to develop a curriculum, make it user-friendly, boots on the ground, and get it to churches so that they could have a tool to help their people and train their people on how to share the faith.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Thanks for explaining that, because I appreciate it. I know you talked a bit about your father in the previous response that I had. I'm assuming at that point that he was probably a pretty influential person in your life. I always ask, like, who are the top three influential people? Assuming, maybe I'm wrong. I don't want to do it, unfortunately. There might be two others, or maybe, you know, there are three others that were your biggest inspiration to guide you to where you are now, aside from your cousin, too, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was a catalyst.
Okay.
God used him as a catalyst. My father would be one of my influencers. But as I look back and as I look at my formation and who God used in my life, I would say Reverend Billy Zioli, who was the founder and head of Gospel Films that was around for 40 years and then transitioned into things. Also, Glenn Kaiser from Resurrection Band and Jesus People USA as an organization. That was very influential in my life. I had a gap year between college and seminary, and I worked as a case manager in the Uptown District of Chicago. My education in terms of recovery and how to do ministry really was working social work. Because working with people with mental illnesses, you truly get to know the need of humanity. And also the struggle of people and understand how mental illness affects people and of course family structures and how they cope or maintenance or there's transformation that happens too. Now, it wasn't with a Christian organization, it was with a community mental health organization that was right there in Chicago. But it was just over a year I worked for them and it was called Community Counseling Centers of Chicago. But boy, did I learn, and God used that instrumentally in developing, vision for the future. So,
how are things different in Chicago than what you've seen here in Grand Rapids in regards to the mental health and all of that? You said, boy, did I learn. Sounds like it was majorly, majorly impactful. Was it more like a trial by fire?
Well, it wasn't necessarily a trial by fire, but I would say that, first of all, they have more infrastructure when it comes to community-based mental health services. Although I must admit, since I came back to Grand Rapids, I've come to really see how much of mental health and also social work rich we are in this city, in West Michigan, because of, and a lot because of the Christian organizations and churches that have developed these parachurch or nonprofits that are in place to do the work. And at the same time, in Chicago, Chicago's larger. Secondly, it was outside of my context, I guess. For me, my context was Grand Rapids before that, but being in the city of Chicago, it was a larger context. It was more diverse at that time. And this is 1992, so they're almost 30 years ago. So we're looking at some major compare and contrast things. And what I learned was that different models of helping people. And secondly, how the largest lesson I learned was, where's the church? How can the church connect with the community in those ways, in those places, in those contexts? As I worked with other social workers and other clients at that time, the question was, well, do they care? Where's the church? How can we, connect better? Why? And also resentments I would hear too. And the other side of it too, I was able to rub shoulders with people who were, of course, very strong worldviews that were not my own, as well as lifestyles not my own. In that arena. So, yeah.
That allowed you to expand understanding other things like that, which probably, I'm going to jump forward here, allowed you to kind of expand maybe at some point to where you are now in multiple different countries, jumping 20, 25 years in the future.
Sure.
Better understanding of these things.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, what's interesting about being in India, for example, or being in Bangladesh or Sri Lanka, where I've been to before, as well as in Kenya, Africa, these places I have studied and I have taught world religions. When I go there, I see them all around me. And what I see in paper, I see in action. And also people, and as the worldview goes, so does life. As the belief system goes, so does practice. As people, as I think, therefore I am. And so, you know, as people, what they believe, they then, they are there. And, but what's interesting is that we've, with Bangladesh, there's a healthy number of Hindus compared to Muslims. And we've been able to reach more Hindus than Muslims there. Bangladesh is very strong in Islam, but the Hindus are searching. They're asking more questions. They're more open. They're more adaptable. And by God's grace, we've been able to reach well over 1,000 people, and they've come to Christ as a result the past 8 years.
Wow. Those are big. That's a great thing to hear. That's awesome. That's awesome. So as far as your, you talked a little mental health issues and things while you were in Chicago there. Is that a universal or a global issue that you're dealing with, or life issues, mental health issues? How is it different in other places?
Well, first of all, these are human issues. We all have life issues. With some people and some groups, it's more acute than others. With other people, it's in other expressions. But a lot of the same. It doesn't matter what culture, no matter where you are, where you're from, what you've done. You know, we all deal with anxiety. We all deal with depression. We all deal with bipolar disorder. We all deal with, you know, schizophrenia. We all deal with addiction. We all deal with family, you know, dysfunction. But when you go to Kenya, it's more tribal. When you go to India, it's more tribal. When you come here, it's more individual. Although you have the tribe, if you will, of the family, but of course, as we know, you go to someone's house and it's like, so where's Johnny? Oh, he's doing his own thing downstairs. Or where's Sue? Well, she moved away to Seattle, you know. And that doesn't happen over in Africa or Asia, but most often you'll see more close knit and also more of a group, you know, orientation. But a lot of the same issues.
I appreciate that. What's the one thing that you know or wish you had known, Dr. Mark, at the beginning of your career?
What I wish I would have known at the beginning of my career was more ways of connecting with, probably to be able to connect with larger platforms. And be able to network with those people, more so to have been more able to have built those connections even further. But at the time, I guess, you know, as I was finishing college and going into, you know, graduate school and those in between things, it was at a real interesting time. You know, the church split, new community began. We had some connections. I don't know. There's God has allowed us to have, you know, some good connections now, and we've been able to network quite well. But I guess those are just some things that are more personal for me, of the woulda, shoulda, couldas, the what ifs, or I wish I had. But I'm not gonna, you know, regret any of that. I think I look back and I say, you know, God used it to mold and shape me. And when I got my doctorate, you know, at Bethel University, and going through those 5 years and learning, you know, I built connections with those folks too. So it's really what path the Lord has for you. And now with the internet and also with Facebook and also other platforms, there's more accessibility than there was 30 years ago.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. And I believe 100% about what you said of what God allows you, who God allows you to, you know, connect with. And you look back at anybody's history, you know, 20 years ago, if they've been alive longer than that, who they had as friends as a circle, they're in now, you know, like you and I now. We weren't connected 5 years ago, you know, we weren't connected 2 years ago. And then who we're going to have in the future, it's not a matter of this is who I'm going to choose to be with. It's just a matter of how God allows it to happen.
Thank you very much.
Speaking of these connections here, you mentioned earlier you're plugged into the group, the sex trafficking group.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Because of Facebook and because of COVID and because of our live streaming, we then caught the attention of a pastor and his group in Liberia. And Pastor Solomon is his name, and he's a whole team of people that work with him in a ministry that goes to rescue men and women, really, out of sex trafficking, and young ones, too. And it's quite tragic. It's interesting because they approached us saying, hey, we're not asking for money. And I tell you what, when you do connect with people overseas, across the board, you'll probably have 10 requests for money a week or more, or a day, actually. But then the more you say, no, here's what we are, put the boundaries up, hold on, we can't do it all, but here's what we can do. So that's what we did with Pastor Solomon. And he said, hey, I'm not looking for your money. We need more training. And interestingly enough, this helped us to really shift our focus, because we were getting, you know, Monday night, Friday night, you know, very intensive in-person contact. And I was doing, you know, field visits with all the different drop-in centers that we have here in Grand Rapids. But then COVID hit, I couldn't do that anymore. And we then had to shift. So we said, sure. So we put together a whole number of videos that we then uploaded to our YouTube channel that would train Pastor Solomon and his people. A big problem in Africa is that, and especially in Liberia, Kenya, a lot of the countries, is that when it comes to being the church and reaching out to those who are the addict, those who have major life issues, those who've been divorced, those who are strung out on alcohol or drugs, whatever it may be, their mindset is that you just don't do that. They're not allowed. They're not welcome. HIV especially. You know, no way are we going to, you know, extend the hand of fellowship to those folks. And it's a mindset that is pervasive on the continent and when it comes to the church. So I said to Solomon, this has been our experience in training other churches in Kenya for about the past 3 years. I've been there 3 times. What do you think? He said, absolutely. We need to help our people continue to break out of this whole thinking that we can't touch, taste, or experience the lives of those who have been through the sex trafficking or any adversive behavior, any kind of, you know, wayward behavior, any kind of, you know, behavior that causes people to be shunned and put out of the church. And it's been a major aha moment. And we also experienced in India too, that when it comes to the Anglican and other denominations, they're still thinking, wow, we actually, you know, bring that together. We actually, you know, open our doors. And how do we do that? And I said, have your side door so you can bring them to the main door. If there's a side door, then come on in without the shame, without the judgment. And then they are restored and come through the main door and extend the hand. And so that's where we went with the Solomon group and in Liberia. And we're also working with another group in Nigeria too. Forgot that. That's another one that we also are working with.
You got a lot of things going on right now. That's awesome. Great work globally, I think. So what would you say then, Dr. Mark, is the biggest challenge that you have in your specific role right now as we kind of close out 2020? And what do you anticipate as a good plan to overcome that?
Well, as always, it's the fundraising. And so that's a constant thing. But at the same time, you know, the Lord provides in so many ways where he gets all the glory anyway. And so as I'm thinking about, well, what next? And two challenges. First of all, more and more, where is God going with us online as well as in person? We reopen, for example, on November 6th with our in-person Friday nights only, because the online now is so strong, and do a hybrid. But at the same time, we're also looking to build up, you know, the education side with online courses, drip content, you know, of course, probably similar to what you're doing here, developing all other video series and live streaming, podcast, as vlogging, video log, and also blogging, and how all fit together, hang together, and doing more of the outreach. And then, you know, having the courses on Udemy and also, you know, using Teachable and also, you know, doing a lot of other things. Because again, as we build the platform, we're able to bring the message. So that's the big challenge now, is we want to do it right. We're not going to do it, you know, completely right out the gate, but with the help of a lot of people who have done it, we're learning, and then get on the right foot and then learn from there. That's one challenge. Second challenge is to continue to fundraise, and yet the Lord's provided. We acquired a grant this past August that has helped us to upgrade our tech and keep our funding going, and other things. But God's faithful, and so we know He'll provide for year end, and going forward into the new year as well. So,
awesome! I appreciate you sharing that. So, on the flip side, then, what's the biggest surprise or win that you've had in the last 12 months?
The biggest win, the biggest surprise past 12 months has been our whole pivot to online, and now realizing that we are in fact led by God and called to go online, to be more interactive in that modality, and to be able to connect with people more and more, we see opportunity on this side of the computer screen to hire, if you will, or invite, if you will, more volunteers to get on the tech side, script writing, as well as, you know, tech and engineer with the equipment we've just acquired as we develop it, and many other things. So, as well as, of course, to maintain what we do in person when it comes to the food service and also support group, facilitation with masks on. But the other big surprise is we're also be able to live stream to other of our partners in town, including Pinehurst Christian Hospital, Exodus Place, and a few others, as that continues to grow, where online we live stream and they tune in. So we become a recovery resource to them, live, interactive, from here to there, to many more places. And then that way, what we've also discovered too is that we can then have them, for example, handle their own protocols, their own safety standards, keep things clean, and also receive the same ministry and also support through online. And of course, then they can get their own volunteers. Oh yeah, I know Jack. Yeah, I know Tom. And yeah, hey Sue. Hey Jackie, what's going on? So we've got that opportunity where we don't have to come up with those people. They do. And that's okay, because that then broadens the church, and we can empower them. And that's been the whole philosophy anyway. When we started Community Recovery back in 1999, what we did is we made partnerships across the board, and we have over 40 collaborators, and because we want to help everybody win. It's not about us, it's about God and what God can then do to bring the church, God's people, along with the community together.
What a blessing, all of that growth and all of those expansion and connecting opportunities have been then. That's absolutely phenomenal. If you could step into my shoes, Dr. Mark, and ask one question that I haven't asked yet, what would that be?
Probably the question is about reproduction. How do I see myself reproducing me, Pastor Greg, and our team? That can become a very challenging situation. And that also involves succession and involves, planning ahead for the future. In my strength finder, I'm a futuristic. And as a futuristic, I'm always looking forward. And I am looking, I'm wondering, but then the Lord's going to show us, and I know that, and He always does. He always shows up on time. But He'll show us how we ought to change, how we ought to reproduce ourselves. Of course, we try to do that off the bat, so that I'm not doing it all. And we've got, we have over 100 volunteers that are on our roster that make things happen every single month. Now, this past 8 months, almost It's just been Pastor Greg and me, because you know you're doing things online and you know, using your tech tools and the two of you. But now we see with the new opportunities, be able to invite others. So, yep, reproduction.
A better question than any of the other ones I asked. That's why I always ask that one to see where your head's at on that. So where can our listeners, our viewers connect with you for volunteer opportunities to plug in and help with fundraising, receive the content online? Where can they go see you on Friday nights when you have your in-person meetings? Like, how do we connect?
Absolutely. I would invite you to go to, first of all, CRI Recovery, CRI, that's Community Recovery International, CRI, CRI Recovery, all together. So CRIRecovery.org.
And that's a one-stop shop for everything?
That's a one-stop shop as far as our in-person ministry, because the website was developed before COVID.
Okay.
So, and eventually we'll catch up to, you know, as you know, with websites, catch up with that content on that website. But secondly, Facebook is most current. So it'd be Community Recovery International on Facebook. And you'll see us, you know, Greg and me right there on the Facebook page. You'll see the a lot of postings, a lot of our videos, and as far as the worship segments and so on. But and then you can just message us and get in contact immediately.
And if they had questions about the organizations that you're working with Pastor Solomon and sex trafficking, just connect with you, and then you can kind of delegate from there.
Absolutely. And I think that's a proper way to do it, because we need to find out, you know, what the interest is and to make sure that those who, you know, hop on, you know, are vetted well. So.
All right. All right. So what do you feel then, Dr. Mark, is your purpose on this planet?
Well, the purpose on this, that God has given me on this planet, and I've had a lot of reflection on this in the past 8 months as well. God's called me to coach. It's another thing we're doing too, by the way. We're now building out the recovery coaching aspect that we've been doing for over 20 years too, but again, more online and so on. Forgot about that part. So that's another little plug. But what I've been called to do is to coach, mentor, and also train pastors, evangelists, and missionaries. And also to build the church that way.
Sounds like you're living that purpose right now.
A lot. And of course, that comes out of experience, because first of all, you have to be in it to win it, but to be in it where you're able to, you know, again, understand and know, and of course, be trained in how to do that too. I feel that for the people who get into consulting or get into, you know, a training role without having had the experience enough. Of course, what's enough? I guess I would say put a good 10 years under your belt, and you got some good things to share, and also to, you know, connect with. More than 10 years, all the more. And that's where the Lord has brought me now. I turn 51 years old tomorrow, and so so after a good 20 some years, it has been fruitful and also transformational, and I continue to learn. But that's, I think, more and more of what God has shown me about why he's put me here and where he's going to go next.
Excellent. Well, happy birthday a day early. I'm glad we got this for today and not tomorrow, so you could have more time with your wife, your family, and do what you do.
Appreciate that.
Anything else on your mind before we sign off here?
Well, God's blessing to you, Jeff, as you, too, go on the journey God has blessed you and led you to go forward with.
Well, thank you very much. And Dr. Mark, God's blessing to you as well. I really, really appreciate your time here today. Thank you so much. Kind of catching it last minute, setting it up within the last 24 hours. It was really, really good. Great to have you on here. And we really, really hope we continue to view your growth and expansion.
Thank you, Jeff. God bless.
Talk to you soon.